This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Welcome back to Nationwide Arena. Before we hear from our expected guest, Troy Terry, in a couple of minutes, have our play of the game. Dan has some notes about this win today.
Yeah, Steve, this victory tonight marked the fifth time this season the Ducks have overcome a multi-goal deficit to win that ties the New Jersey Devils and the Chicago Blackhawks for the most such instances in the NHL this season. And it is just the fourth time in club history the Ducks have rallied from three goals or more down to win on the road. Just the second time they've done that in regulation. The only other previous such occasion came in a very memorable game at Washington on December 2nd of 2018. Ducks were down 5-1, came back to win 6-5. So this one will go down with that one as pretty historic victories for the Anaheim Ducks.
All right, we thought we'd just recap the first period since Columbus scored all three goals they would eventually wind up with here. And, Dan, it didn't look good at that point of the game.
No, it really didn't. Just 2:17 in, Matthew Olivier capitalized on a 2-on-1 rush, finishing a feed from Eric Robinson. And Boqvist got the second assist there. That made it 1-0 Jackets. Then a Ducks turnover led directly to an unassisted goal for Jack Roslovic, his fourth of the season at 6:05. And late in the period, defenseman Nick Blankenberg with his third goal of the season, assisted by Patrick Laine and Johnny Gaudreau at 17:43. Ducks were down 3-0. Things were not looking good. But at the outset of the second period, John Gibson replaced Anthony Stolarz. And the rest we will talk about later. Right now, we are joined by Ducks right winger Troy Terry. Troy, rarely do we see a hockey game with one personality so bent in a certain direction in the first period and then change so dramatically. Have you any explanation for how that occurred tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that this team needs to clean up. You know, I think we've had a few first periods here that have been similar to that one, and you know, I don't know exactly what the reasoning for it is, but it just seems that the biggest thing is we're not ready to play in front of our net and in front of their net. And you know, they're getting screens on our goalie when they're shooting the puck and they're winning battles, and it takes us a bit to kind of get into it. So you know, that was a game I'm proud of the guys. That one felt different than the other ones we got down. We there was no falter in us. And you know, I'm really proud, and that's a game that, you know, this group needed and can build on.
Well, you look at Sam Carrick's scrap in the first period. Certainly not the first time Sam has done that. And then the goaltending change at the outset of the second period, perhaps to get the attention of the rest of the team. Might those two things have had an impact?
Big time. You know, Sam Carrick, he does everything for this team. I mean, he's a great hockey player. He can score. He plays a two-way game. But he's also, you know, one of the tougher guys I've been around. I mean, he knows when the team needs it, and the team definitely needed it. You know, some energy and a jolt there. And with Stoli, we all owe him a big apology because, you know, we hung him out to dry there. And it was unfortunate that, you know, kind of a wake-up call to the team came at his expense. And, you know, it's the way it goes sometimes, and it was unfair to Stoli tonight. So, you know, we'll be apologizing to him, and it's too bad it took that to get us going, but, you know, I'm glad we got going.
Yeah, and goaltenders know the drill, I'm certain. On the other side of the coin, John Gibson comes in a position where basically all he's being asked to do the remainder of the night is be perfect, and
yep.
It was.
He's that a lot of nights. You know, he makes saves he shouldn't. He's you know, I think the best in the world. So he truly is, you know, the kind of the backbone of this team. And, you know, once we kind of, you know, we were able to get one first shift in the second, which was big for us. And once we kind of felt the momentum going our way, we knew he was going to shut the door. And sometimes it's unfair to him that we know he'll do that. But that's just who he is and who he is to this team.
Troy, I got to ask you about Isaac Lindstrom. You and he both had assists on Adam Henrique's goal at the outset of the second period, and then also on Simon Benoit's goal that tied the game 15 minutes into that second period. Isaac Lindstrom steps in for Mason McTavish, who couldn't go tonight, playing on your line with Adam Henrique, and boy, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's a player that, you know, we've definitely missed. He's a player that, as you could see tonight, he can play anywhere in the lineup, and he's just there's really no faults to his game. I mean, he brings it every night, hangs on to the puck, he's got poise, plays a responsible game, but can also be offensive, and I think you saw that tonight. So we're happy to have him back, and you know, it was awesome playing with him.
Well, absolutely, we are happy to have him back. Troy, good work tonight, and thanks very much for the visit. Let's carry it on Saturday in Buffalo.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All righty, let's get back to the scoring recap, and then we're going to bring in Josh Brewster immediately when we're done with the scoring here and visit with him before the next break. 3-0, Dan, we talked about that. And then the guy we featured on the pregame talked a lot about Adam Henrique. He kind of started the comeback, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And Troy Terry alluded to this goal as being a big moment in the hockey game. It certainly was on the first shift of the second period. The Blue Jackets turned over the puck in the neutral zone. That led to an odd man rush with Isaac Lindstrom getting the puck to Troy Terry, and Terry feeding Adam Henrique on the left side. Henrique with the goal, stretching his goal-scoring streak to 4 consecutive games, the 16th of the season for Henrique, from Terry and Lindstrom at 22 seconds of the second period. That got the Ducks going.
That's a good thing. Way to start a period, isn't it? 13:07, then the Ducks close the gap even further.
Yeah, Cam Fowler at his finest here, rushing the puck out of the Anaheim zone, getting it ahead to Trevor Zegras, and then Zegras made a feed low on the right side to Max Comtois. The puck was actually in Comtois' skates. He did a tremendous job to recover and backhand a pass in front for Fowler, who had jumped up and was going hard to the net. Cam able to convert from point-blank range, his fifth of the season, from Comtois and Zegras at 13:07. That made it 3-2.
Simon Benoit, we've been talking a lot about this young man on the blue line. He contributed with the tying goal in the second period.
Yeah, and Isaac Lindstrom had a lot to do with this goal. He had the secondary assist. He was also in front of the net, screening goaltender Elvis Merzlikins when Simon Benoit got a feed from Troy Terry and unleashed a shot from the high slot. Benoit gets his second goal of the season from Terry and Lindstrom at 15:02. That made it 3-3 as we headed to the third period.
And you're just wondering, how much does that take out of a hockey team coming from a three-goal deficit? Well, we learned that the Ducks were ready for this come the third period. We get a big-time goal to put us up by a 4-3 count.
Yeah, Trevor Zegras, who also has been hot.
Yep, Trevor Zegras with the goal. He's going to be our play of the game because of that. Sponsored by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Now, to learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. And, hey, let's go, Ducks, as they go ahead for good right here. Terry went in front. Here's a two-on-one break developing. Strom for Terry. Back to Strom. Wide open the net. Goaltender out. Couldn't get it to Shattenkirk. Now a centering feed. And Ryan Strom deflected it wide to the goaltender with him being out of the box. Score! Trevor Zegras takes a bow. High slot. Put it by Merzlikins. The Ducks have scored 4 in a row and lead 4-3.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Zegras really expected this shot to find the back of the net, but it went off the glove of goaltender Elvis Merzlikins, and it gave the Ducks the lead in the process. Zegras, who now has 6 points during a 4-game point streak, with his 15th goal of the season. Cam Fowler and Ryan Strome the assist. That made it 4-3 Ducks at 5:07 of the third period.
And boy, wasn't it great to see that insurance goal take a little pressure off, and good for Max Jones getting that score.
Absolutely. The Blue Jackets, who had their troubles handling the puck tonight with a turnover inside their own blue line, Isaac Lundestrom made a nice feed to Jason Megna right in front. Megna with the shot that Merzlikens made a nice save on. Unfortunately for the Columbus goaltender, he had no idea where the puck was. He was looking to his left as Max Jones stormed to the front of the net and flipped the puck over the outstretched right pad of Merzlikens. Jones gets his third goal of the season from Megna and Lundestrom, who picks up his third assist of the night. Isaac Lundestrom came into the game with 6 points in 24 games. He got half as many tonight.
Yeah, just all in all, a good come-from-behind effort. We all know the team's been struggling most of the season. Hey, you win one like that tonight, maybe you put another one together in Buffalo this weekend, but we look forward to it. Hey, let's bring in Josh Brewster to join the fun here for the next several minutes, live from Nationwide Arena. And Josh, you knew we had it all the way, didn't you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we spoke toward the end of the first period, and it was obviously it was an interesting situation. You know, we called on the Ducks to do some things, start to close these gaps in the defensive zone. They did it. You know, we talk about getting traffic. They did it. Drive the center lane. They did it. There's so many things here. Look, regardless of where the opponent is in the standings, there's so many things here to like about the second and third period that, you know, you really hope, and this has been an issue, but you really hope the Ducks can carry over this style of play, win or lose, to the next game when we go to Buffalo, because they checked a lot of boxes tonight. And I think it really goes to show that, you know, a lot of this is mental, and it's hard to get through a season when you're losing. But the Ducks turned a corner. I'd love to know what was said during that first intermission, because it was an entirely different execution level, commitment level, sacrifice level after the first intermission.
And again, I think we have to make sure we don't overlook John Gibson tonight, because
no,
he was not expecting to play. And as Troy Terry so accurately pointed out, the Ducks owe Anthony Stolarz an apology for the way they performed in front of him in the first period. But that happens sometimes. So Gibson comes in to start the second period and basically is letter perfect the rest of the way, finishing with 18 saves and giving the Ducks an opportunity to mount that improbable comeback. And in the process, John Gibson becomes the second winningest goaltender in Ducks history, with Jean-Sebastien Giguère clearly within his sights. So kudos to Gibson. Kudos to the Ducks for how they responded to a very poor first period. And as you said, Josh, we'll see now whether this might lead to something good Saturday afternoon in Buffalo.
All right, Josh, what's coming up on your Duck Call show this evening?
Well, looking forward to your calls at 714-940-2888. And I'll be welcoming Scott Burnside, a longtime veteran hockey writer, a real good guy, good writer, and we'll have a lot to talk about, 13 games in the NHL tonight. But a big win by the Ducks, and it was a real welcome victory. It's great to see.
All right, Josh, we'll talk to you on Saturday morning from Buffalo, New York. Dan Wood, final thought is yours.
Well, just a fun game, Steve. It certainly didn't start off that way, but when you see the Ducks play the way they did in the final two periods, you realize that they may not be that far away from being able to do this on a more consistent basis.
All righty. We're going to have more consistent hockey coverage coming up this weekend. We're on the air at 9 a.m. Pacific Coast time with our 30-minute pregame show, 9:30 for the play-by-play. The Ducks and the Buffalo Sabres in the first meeting of two regular season matchups. I'd like to thank DR Rails back for his help tonight, and the crew back home in Southern California and Arizona, Cash Hibbler's crew. Want to thank Josh Brewster and, of course, Dan Wood. I'm Steve Carroll. The Ducks have come from behind win tonight. Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio, down 3-0, came back to win at 5-3. Keep our fingers crossed, Ducks fans. Hopefully this is the start of something good. For everyone here, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Josh Brewster. He's ahead, coming up on DuckStream, and that's brought to you by TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
drive, score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to
this. Music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master, Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
And join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. Anaheim. Coming all the way back. Ducks 5, Blue Jackets 3. Right on. That's just what the doctor ordered. The patient was getting real sick toward the end of that first period. And Sam Carrick pulls out his Dukes. The Ducks give up one more goal. What was said in the dressing room in the first intermission? I want to know. 5-3 tonight. The Ducks score 5 unanswered goals in a comeback victory. And welcome back to the lineup, Isaac Lundstrom. I'm impressed with a number of guys. We're going to talk about all that, and you want to talk about it as well. 714-940-2888. Give me a call. Want to hear from you. Isaac Lundstrom, I thought you had a third assist tonight. They gave one to Adam Henrique on the 3-3 goal by Benoit. I thought it was going to go to him. Anyway, 2 assists for sure tonight. He had 6 points in his first 23 games before he missed 21 games to injury with that broken finger. He's inserted into the lineup. He goes and plays even higher up the lineup because Mason McTavish was out tonight, a little banged up. But I've got to hand it to Isaac Lundstrom because, you know, the season was not looking real good for him, and then he was injured. And he had built up so much last season, such improvement, really getting confident in his ability to drive the center lane and to turn on the speed. And you know he's a 200-foot player, and this is the kind of guy we need. But, boy, I'll tell you, I was just impressed that he came back and was able to do that tonight. All right, John Gibson, excellent effort. 18 shots against, saved all of them. Now, I said on the air, I think Anthony Stolarz wanted a couple of those goals back, for sure. But at the same time, I think Troy Terry has a point, too, is that considering how the Ducks played in the first period, you know, they owe him a bit of an apology. I'll tell you what, Ducks just not closing the gaps in the defensive zone, not pressuring the puck enough, doing all these little things that they have done anytime they dig a hole. It's because they're not pressuring the puck enough, or they're not winning the puck battles enough, and not sacrificing enough. We've seen their blocked shots dissipate after a night when it was just great. So it was so good to see the turnaround in the second and third period by the Anaheim Ducks, because there's a lot of things that they've needed to do for a while, and they actually took care of this kind of business tonight. Their pace was so much better in the second period. Better pursuit, better pressure. You knew it right from the get-go in the second period. Troy Terry steals a puck from Patrick Laine. He starts a rush opportunity. Strome and Comtois, nice drive to the net for an opportunity. Something's cooking. And at the midpoint, the shots are 18-17 Columbus after we had been outshot in the first period 15-9. All of a sudden, we're closing the gap. It's 3-1 Columbus, but the Ducks are feeling better. And then Max Comtois, I've got to give him honorable mention tonight as well. Very honorable, because this play he made on the Fowler goal, it's our second goal. Fowler, of course, does a great job, and he drives, he gets the puck in, he drives the center lane toward the net, and Comtois gets it. It comes over to him. He gets it on his skate. He gets it over to Zegras at a hard angle. And it goes from Zegras to Comtois, and then it goes to Fowler. You get what I'm saying. So Comtois, great job tonight gathering that puck up with your skate. We need so much more from him. This is, you know, not unlike Isaac Lundstrom, quite honestly. This is a player who we know we've seen much better production, and we've seen better hockey out of both of them. But tonight, I've got to give a tip of the cap to both of them, and for Isaac Lundstrom's sake. It's a night when he comes off the injured list, and it's not easy just to hop back into the fray. Practice can't really prepare you for what you're going to see in a game. You can do the best you can. Columbus, what can I say? They're a struggling club the way we're a struggling club, and, you know, it's one of those nights where look at what they did. They build up a lead, but then they're taking advantage of the rest of the way. Trevor Zegras getting hot again. He had a beautiful goal. It's the game-winning goal. He snipes it. I really thought the Ducks were going to finally play a game where they don't get called for any penalties. And finally, or they give up, I shouldn't say penalties. Carrick took a fighting penalty, but of course they both go off. They get five for fighting. But until 50 minutes and 50 seconds into the game, when Max Jones was called for tripping, the Ducks had not committed a penalty. So, again, the staying out of the box thing definitely helped fuel the comeback as well, because, if you're going to keep killing penalties like the Ducks sometimes end up killing penalties, you're not going to have a chance. But it's a great comeback tonight. Great all the way around. Who else do I have here on my list? Simon Benoit, great for him. Good to see him shooting. He's been bringing a lot of hits lately, and he's definitely been a guy who we can count on for some rough stuff, and we need that from our blue line, and he's been bringing it. As for the Columbus Blue Jackets, interesting, Jack Roslovic, who scored tonight, he played on the under-18 U.S. national team in 2014-2015, with Troy Terry, Austin Matthews, Matt Tkachuk, Christian Fischer, Charlie McAvoy, Luke Kunin, Tage Thompson, Clayton Keller. I would have loved to have seen this club. It's too bad I wouldn't get an opportunity to see one of those back then. But that was an interesting under-18 national team. He played on it, and as far as the Blue Jackets go, Nick Blankenberg, this guy who, he obviously likes to shoot the puck, and he had a lot of jump. He and Kent Johnson, another Blue Jacket, both went to University of Michigan with Matty Beniers, Owen Power, and those guys. So, it's an interesting situation with the Blue Jackets. They've got injuries. You're talking about Zach Werenski out injured for basically almost the whole season. He was injured back in November, so they're suffering from some subtractions in their lineup. That's a big defenseman that they would have depended on to quarterback their power play, not unlike Jamie Drysdale here in Anaheim. And, of course, Jakub Voracek went out around the same time. He's been on IR with a concussion. So, they've been dinged by injuries as well. But tonight, John Gibson, a great job. He surpasses Guy Hebert for second place on the all-time wins list for Ducks goaltenders. And we'll probably take another, we'll have a really successful season next season. And maybe he can come close to the 206 wins that Jean-Sébastien Giguère recorded with the club. And it's Gibby's 174th. We'll talk about a lot of stuff tonight with Scott Burnside. He's a great hockey writer, and I'm really looking forward to welcoming him back to Duck Calls. He's been on a few times before. We'll also talk about our old buddy Ryan Miller getting his jersey raised to the rafters in Buffalo. It's a great thing to see, well-deserved. And just to remind you, he was inducted to the United States Hockey Hall of Fame back in November. So hats off to Millsy, and he's going to be dropping a puck at the Ducks-Sabres game coming up early, by the way, early on Saturday. Pre-game here on DuckStream is 9 a.m., and the game is at 9:30. Okay, let's take a break here on Duck Calls, and I'm going to ring up my old buddy Scott Burnside, and I'll be right back right here on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn, Duck Calls.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's the sound of Karen getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers are providing her mom with a portable oxygen tank. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services.
When the Ducks want fresh, healthy food fast, they go to Fresh and Lean. Fresh and Lean makes organically sourced meals prepped by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. Plus, you don't have to shop, chop, or cook anything. Their meals are delivered fresh, never frozen, so all you have to do is heat and eat. Fresh and Lean has delivered over 25 million meals nationwide, but they're locally based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order and free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry Beckett scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Join us for Women in Sports Night on January 28th. The evening will kick off with a special pregame panel and mentorship event. From networking to speed mentorship rounds, the event serves to provide young professionals with insights into and connections in the sports industry. Reserve your spot now at anaheimducks.com/panel. anaheimducks.com/panel. My understanding is Linda Cohn will be there, old buddy of Duck Call. She's one of the all-time greats, so that should be good. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here. Let's go to Adam. Adam, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was so happy to see the Ducks pivot after the first intermission. I thought it was gonna, be one of those here we go again situations, and you're gonna make a struggling club look really good. But I was very heartened by the way the Ducks played. And I would tell you that even if Columbus had come back on them, I would have told you that I was happy with how they played in the second and third.
Yeah, no, I definitely love the competitiveness from this team coming out into the second period. But show some love here to Isaac Lundestrom. I've always been big on this guy, even when the Ducks drafted him when he was playing in San Diego. And finally had that breakout year last year. Really was tough to see him go down to injury the way he did. But I've always loved this guy, and I think it's outstanding just how good the Ducks' depth is center-wise and just how young they are. Zegras, McTavish, and Lundestrom, I think the oldest player is 23, 24. Out of those three, I think the Ducks are set up down the middle for years to come.
Well, you know what? You're right, and there's no better place, I guess, other than in your net to have things settled and be good is to be good right down the middle. And I'll say this, look, I said it before. Isaac Lundestrom, the season was not – it did not start well for him. Then again, it didn't start well for the Ducks in general. But we've seen what he can do, and, it's an interesting thing. When you think of players, I often look at things like, are you a problem or are you the solution? And, there's some guys, they're the solution. Cam Fowler is a solution. You know what I mean? Troy Terry, the guy might be struggling.
Right.
He, you know, he had a great play, a couple of great plays tonight, but he's part of the solution. So, you know, it's interesting. You can look at a club and say, well, if I had to trade this guy or if the salary cap came along and bit me, it wouldn't be the end of my world. But there are some guys who are the solution. And I would have to say, I really think that, you know, if Isaac can keep his head up and stay confident, I very much think he'll build on what he had started last season.
Yeah, and no, I think this team as a whole, it hasn't been the season the Ducks have wanted, but I think that they have shown flashes of what they are capable of, and there's a lot to be excited about in this future. You know, things work out and the Ducks get Connor Bedard. That's another outstanding young winger, but so is Adam Fantilli and any of those guys that you get in the top three of this draft. And I think guys like Stroman and Vetrano just might not have found their footing yet in the Ducks uniform, but I think that this is a very capable team down the road, next 3 to 5 years. They could do a lot of good things. And defensively, too, I think there's a lot of good young defensemen, too, in this pipeline.
Well, I agree with you on all fronts. And, Adam, thank you for calling the show. Please give me a call anytime you got some good takes there for sure. Yes, I'm still struck by, you know, the way we played and the way we were able to turn it on. You know, and by the way, it's not just that we turned, you know, just that we turned the tables on the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's that, you know, we turn the tables on anybody if you play that way. I don't know if you would come back all the way on a club like, let's say, the Boston Bruins, but to play the way we did in the second and third period it certainly goes to show you that a lot of nights, you know, the Ducks could be a better club than they've shown, and I think that that's just part of the process and struggling here. But we did not struggle tonight after the second period began. All right, Scott Burnside is a longtime hockey veteran writer. My goodness, on ESPN and on NHL.com and many different outlets over the years, and he's always had his pulse on the NHL and has always been a great writer, and it is great to welcome him back to Duck Call. Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, and thanks for having me aboard. I'm actually in Raleigh and watched the Hurricanes defeat the Minnesota Wild, although a very scary end to the game as Max Pacioretty left with a no-contact, looked to be a leg-type injury. And I know the Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach of the Hurricanes, saying after that things do not look good for Max Pacioretty. So, a disappointing end for Max Pacioretty and the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, that's for sure.
Oh, that's terrible news. You know, we were just welcoming him back and looking forward to what he could do with the Hurricanes. So, you know, it's possible. Who knows, Scott? Father Time may be catching up with him. I hope he will not be on the shelf for long, because that is a club. I'll just ask you this right now. I think that's a club that is one of the clubs in the East that could take down the Boston Bruins or even the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Josh. And I provide some content for the Hurricanes, so I'm in Raleigh quite a bit. And they are a team that I think is built the right way. It was interesting tonight. Their power play has been struggling mightily, and they got a couple of power play goals, although not from their top unit. And I think one of the issues for this team is, of course, Max Pacioretty suffered an Achilles injury during pre-training camp training. So never even actually got to training camp, and then missed the first almost half the season, came back, played a couple of games, and then had another minor injury that was unrelated. And this was his first game back in the lineup tonight. And I thought he looked like a player who hasn't played a lot. And maybe that was the reason that he was on the ice in the last minute on the power play. And again, to get him into the groove, because as a natural goal scorer and a big, you know, player with, you know, a surprising physical element to his game, I think he was critical to what the Carolina Hurricanes were hoping to accomplish in building a team that, as you point out, could challenge some of the Titans in the Eastern Conference, certainly Boston, the regular season giant right now, and Tampa, two-time cup winners and a trip to the final last year. They're still, I know they're down to Edmonton tonight, but the Bullets are starting to really roll as well. So Carolina will have to, you know, again, way too early to be speculating, but it is the kind of thing, if Max Pacioretty's injury is long-term, and again, Rod Brind'Amour very, you know, early on, very pessimistic about it, you know that GM Don Waddell has the green light to do whatever needs to be done, you know, leading up to the March 3rd trade deadline. And you know that Carolina is going to be one of those teams that will definitely be in buy mode in general. And certainly that would change dramatically if Matt Pacioretty isn't expected back in the near future.
Yep. So we hear names like Bo Horvat. You never know. Now let's double back here to our hometown heroes here tonight, Scott. I know you're covering the a different game tonight, but certainly you see enough of us tonight. We turn the tables on the Columbus Blue Jackets. We pull Anthony Stolarz because we didn't do much to support him in the first. We have a game where we drive the center lane and good pursuit in the defensive zone and do a lot of things that we haven't done well. But tonight we get some, you know, interesting characters on the score sheet. We get Trevor Zegras with the game-winning goal. Cam Fowler has a huge goal driving the center lane and banging in a puck. And Adam Henrique is really one of the only Ducks who's been truly hot of late and has been playing his typical smart guy 200-foot game. So tell me where you think the Ducks stand, knowing what you know about the Ducks. And again, tonight it's a 5-3 victory over the Columbus Blue Jackets in a comeback.
Yeah, and of course, knowing that I was coming on, I was keeping a close eye on what was transpiring, and it certainly didn't look good early on in Columbus. I must admit, in my travels, I always hate the sound of the cannon going off in Columbus, and it must have been a bit noisy in the first period. But, you know, I heard you just before I came on, and I think this is a season, you know, for the Ducks where these kinds of games are really important because they show you what's possible and they show a young roster what is possible. You know, when you work hard and you follow the process, and as you point out, maybe it means doing things differently vis-a-vis how you're attacking an opposing goal. And really just the mindset when you get down 3-0, you know, the NHL has changed. You know, Josh, you and I have been doing this a long time. And there was a time, you know, a 3-0 first period lead, you know, pretty much everyone could get up and go home because nothing was going to change.
Yeah.
But the game is much different now. And I think a young team, you have to learn that these kinds of things are possible. And when you do get rewarded, especially in a season where, you know, where especially regulation wins have been such a struggle for the Ducks, I think that, you know, you want to celebrate those kinds of moments. You know, they're few and far between. And as you pointed out, maybe you don't do it against Boston. Maybe you don't do it against Tampa or whatever. But take some solace from this kind of victory, because I think part of the challenge for teams at the bottom of the NHL standings, especially this year, with the first overall pick so meaningful with Connor Bedard and the kind of player he represents, I think as teams, it's hard not to fall into the trap of, oh, it's okay if we lose, because it's actually maybe better for the future of the team. And I think that's always the challenge for teams, especially in a year when you have such talent at the top of the draft. You have to shut that out, I think, if you're a coaching staff and a roster, and really focus on the task at hand. And it's nice to see a team like the Ducks get rewarded once in a while, because that must have been a pretty good feeling at the end of a game that they trailed 3-0 in the first period.
Oh, yeah, sure. And listen, you know, if you just look at any draft, I mean, a lot of times it's the third guy, it's the second guy, or the fourth guy. You never really know who's going to be the guy, even though usually the top guy is often the top guy. But that's another reason why I like the lottery, because it should tamp down some of that. And I think it does, you know, this anticipation of who's going to get the first, you know, the balls are going to fall with the way they fall. Now, let's turn our attention tonight to John Gibson, Scott. I've made the observation many times that the Ducks' goaltending statistics, and I'm not absolving the goaltenders for when they've played poorly, which is quite honestly not very often, I've said, look at the numbers and throw out the Ducks' goaltending stats. I see other clubs where obviously one goaltender is heads above the other, but sometimes when you look and you see the numbers are similar, winning or losing, even if you're successful, and the numbers between the goaltenders are very, very similar, you know that's it's very much a team stat. And so the way I look at this is John Gibson and Anthony Stolarz, the stats aren't going to tell you when they make big saves or when they make acrobatic saves. The club is just struggling. So that's my observation on them. And tonight, John Gibson comes in. He stops all 18 shots that he faces, and he helps fuel the Ducks coming back from a 3-0 deficit. But give me your take on the Ducks' goaltending situation, because I truly believe that a lot of the numbers you see, and they're not good, the numbers you see really are reflective of poor team play.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, and it's I remember going to John Gibson's house outside of Pittsburgh and doing a story. And, we've crossed paths, a number of times over the years. And, there's a reason that the Ducks, have rewarded him with a contract and have, you don't bestow it necessarily, but he's the franchise goaltender, right? And the contract tells you that's what he is. He's under contract through 2026, 2027. And, like everyone else connected with the team, these have been a difficult 2 or 3 years. And his name, because of A, of his talent level, because of his contract situation, his name has come up in trade rumors a number of times over the past 2 or 3 years. And I think that's a natural, and I'm sure it's probably unsettling, but to me, it means that he's the kind of player that other teams might look at as, hey, in a better situation with a team that's at a different point of their evolution, he's an elite goaltender, and we know that. So, I would think that there might be a slight silver lining to, hearing your name in trade rumors the last couple of years. If you're John Gibson, that means people respect you as a goaltender and might imagine you, being an elite goaltender in a different situation. But, to your point of to come in, and play in a game that he didn't expect to be playing in, and especially given the circumstances, and come in and be part of a turnaround like it was tonight. Again, I think that, maybe you take small victories in a season like this, but that has to feel good for John Gibson. And, I don't know what the plan is for Pat Verbeek moving forward. There are a lot of moving parts with a team like this, especially as you imagine the March 3rd trade deadline coming up. What will, what's best for the organization sometimes means, making hard decisions on players that have been important parts of your organization. And I think John Gibson is one of those players who very much is, when I think of the Ducks now, I think of John Gibson, and it's nice to see him, get rewarded in a season when maybe there haven't been too many rewards.
Scott, I want to ask you another Ducks question, then I want to pop around the NHL a little bit. But one quick thing here. We have not, in fact, I don't think we've spoken since Zegras became a Duck. I think it's been a couple seasons now. So tell me what you think Trevor Zegras represents to the Ducks, and also in the larger sense to the NHL.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think you have to... It requires perspective, right? If you're a fan, and certainly if you're involved with the organization now, and really seeing, sort of beyond what is right in front of you, and everyone knows what is right in front of you right now is painful. It's painful for everyone connected with the organization, but that sometimes happens. That's the pendulum swing in pro sport, and certainly in the NHL. We've seen lots of teams go through, the yin and yang of being really good and then, not being really good. And you hope you come out the other side of it. But to me, Trevor Zegras is the kind of player that you look to as saying, when this team comes out the other side, and I have no doubt that they will, because listen, Pat Verbeek is a good, smart hockey guy and things are going to get done. You can't rush the process, but to me, Zegras is one of those pieces that you imagine is going to be a really pivotal part when this team does come through the door on the other side. And I think he's, you know, we talk about, you know, this notion that the league is different than 5 or 6 or 10 years ago. It's different because of players like Trevor Zegras and the dynamic way they play the game. And, what you hope when you have a team that is, you know, in this transition, that the young players don't get worn down by the losing. But he strikes me, and again, just from watching him from afar, that he has the right personality for, you know, to understand what is going on and how important a part he's going to be when this team does turn a corner.
All right, let's move on to some NHL stuff. But before we do, I want to let everybody know you can find Scott Burnside. Go to the web. Go to Burnside on Hockey. And, Scott, is there anything else I need to mention for you? Because I want people to find you.
Yeah, no, Burnside on Hockey. Yeah, people can check it out. That would be nice. And to say I'd still do a fair amount of and do some stuff for Sirius. And I'll do just about anything, Josh, at this stage.
It's
nice to keep my – I'm around, exactly.
You're around. And the whole world of hockey media has changed so much in the last 20 years, but Scott has been a constant throughout. Scott, let's talk real quickly here. I saw this go by on television here as the show was starting. We're going to play the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday, and we're going to see Ryan Miller, who finished the last four seasons of his illustrious career here. They retire his number tonight in Buffalo, and the Sabres win one in overtime for him. Miller comes out on the ice and shakes hands with the players. I'm saying he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but everybody's heard me 10 times on that one. Scott, what do you think about Ryan Miller? The number goes up, and, you know, there he is.
Yeah, and I've always enjoyed spending time with Ryan Miller, both when he was playing and since he's retired. I used to do a podcast with Mike McKenna, and Ryan Miller was on with us, and we had just a great chat. And so he and I, you know, have crossed paths at various times. And I, you know, for me, when I think of Ryan Miller, and I think of having covered the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver and being at center ice in the press tribune for the entire tournament, and really my focus being Team USA at the time, and watching that gold medal game against Canada, and he's just such an eloquent, smart, cerebral person, and just a real treat to be around. And I think of his longevity, and I think he played at such a high level for such a long time. You know, I don't know if he's the first ballot Hall of Famer or not. He's definitely in the mix and definitely in the discussion. For me, definitely U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, no question about that. But to me, just the way he conducted himself, I just always enjoyed listening to him and being around him. And he was a guy that didn't mind challenging you or being challenged. And I'm really pleased to see the honor that he received in Buffalo tonight. And actually, I mean to reach out to him and congratulate him, because it was fun to watch from afar. And I know how much it would mean to him, and certainly how much he meant to that organization and that city in Buffalo.
Indeed. All right, Scott, let me get your thoughts here about our Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. I was going to get to the fan vote here, which was unveiled, just to let everybody know in the Central. I'm going to do this real quickly here. We won't dissect this now, but I'll do this quickly. Then I want to talk to Scott about the Colorado Avalanche. Tonight in the Central Division, the fan vote goes to Mikko Rantanen, Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor Hellebuck from the Winnipeg Jets. In the Atlantic, they're going to add Austin Matthews. There's a big surprise. David Pastrnak, there's another big surprise. And Andre Vasilevsky, another big surprise. In the Pacific, I was hoping for Trevor Zegras, but it's going to be Leon Draisaitl, Bo Horvat, and Stuart Skinner. In the Metro, it's going to be Artemi Panarin. There's another surprise. Adam Fox, big surprise. And Ilya Sorokin, not much of a surprise there. But anyway, all great players. Let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche for a second here, Scott, because, you know, there's a few things I wonder. Have they replaced Nazem Kadri? I don't know. They've suffered some big injuries. Landeskog, right, hasn't played. Do you think that Colorado could be a situation where there's just going to be a trajectory starting now, halfway through, two-thirds of the way through, and somehow Colorado is going to power their way back into contention? What do you think? Or is it just a down year for the Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. In fact, I wrote today that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, both Edmonton started to really play very well, and they get Evander Kane back tonight in their game against Tampa. And Colorado, you know, both Cale Makar and Connor McDavid would probably be in line for, well, certainly Connor McDavid in line for the Hart and Cale Makar in line for a second straight Norris. But if the teams miss the playoffs, it does change the dynamic a little bit in terms of, you know, historically how voters respond when a player's team don't make the playoffs. And now, right now, Colorado and Edmonton are in the hunt for a wild card spot. The other teams in both the Central and the Pacific in the top three have played better. And, you know, both those teams could jump into the top three. It wouldn't be a huge surprise. And your question, though, about Nazem Kadri, no. They didn't replace him, and I don't know that they really expected that they would. You know, it was interesting because a year ago at the trade deadline, they made a couple of very shrewd moves in adding Arturi Lehkonen and Josh Manson, both of whom signed long-term there. The injuries have made it, I think, a little bit hard to handicap the team. Of course, Darcy Kuemper, who split time in the playoffs with Pavel Francouz, you know, he's off in Washington having a great season for the Capitals there. Do you like the tandem of Francouz and Alexander Georgiev? You know, they proved you can win a Stanley Cup without having one elite goaltender carry the load, right? There were times when the goaltending was only okay in the playoffs, but it was enough. And maybe it's enough again. I do think that they're the kind of team that they don't care. They don't care whether they have home ice. They don't care whether they're in the top three and whether they're a wild card. I think they will be a handful come playoff time, and I do think they'll be in there. But boy, the way that Seattle has played and Los Angeles has played, it's sort of disrupted, I think, what a lot of us thought the playoff grid would look like in the Western Conference. Like, I think a lot of us assumed Calgary and Edmonton for sure in the top three in the Pacific. I certainly felt, you know, wait, look at me out on the limb. I felt Colorado would probably repeat as division champs or certainly be near the top of the Central Division. But now you're in a mix with teams like Calgary and Edmonton. The expectation's so high for both those teams. Of course, Colorado. You know, there's going to be a good team or two that won't make the playoffs. And that's going to be the interesting part about the stretch run in the Western Conference. So I don't know whether the team will have another sort of rabbit to pull out of the hat come trade deadline time as they did a year ago. But it's a good, good team. And I don't think they'd probably mind having this kind of adversity at this stage of the season. It's better to have it now than in April, May, that's for sure. And, you know, Chris McFarland, who's taken over as the GM with Joe Sakic moving upstairs, really good, smart guy. And my guess is that there will be moves made by the Avs because they, you know, they're still that good a team.
Indeed, and everybody's wondering about where Bo Horvat will end up, but I'll tell you what, Scott, I could do another 4 or 5 hours with you right now, but that's just not even real, and I'm up against the break, so hopefully we can reconvene real soon next time, and I'd love to have you back on Duck Calls. Go to @OvertimeScottB. @OvertimeScottB on Twitter, and of course Burnside on Hockey on the web. Scott, I really, really appreciate you joining me on Duck Calls. Let's do this again.
Yeah, anytime, Josh. You know that.
All right. There he is, Scott Burnside. I'm going to be taking a little break here. I'm going to come right back. You give me a call, 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. Rack up your calls for the last segment. Let's take a look around the league and talk Ducks. Be right back.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at PDFTron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
The EA Sports NHL 23 World Championship is here with more events, more tournaments, and more chances to win than ever before. Test your skills playing EA Sports NHL 23 against the best gamers in the world for the chance to represent your favorite team. Win a trip to NHL events and compete for a share of $150,000. Register now and get all the details at nhl.com/NHL23.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. See every Honda Center event from the best seats to annual club seats or a luxury suite. From UFC fights to family shows and Ducks games to concerts and comedy, there's something for everyone in your life to get excited about. Learn more about the benefits of the suite life at HondaCenter.com/luxury. HondaCenter.com/luxury. That sounds really good. All right. I need a luxury suite. You know what I mean? That's what I should have. All right. Let's look around the NHL tonight. We talked about the Ryan Miller thing. I mentioned at the intermission, Steve Stamkos. They're in Edmonton tonight. Tampa's in Edmonton tonight. I wonder if he hasn't scored. Oh, he scored again. He's up to 503 goals now. He scored his 22nd goal of the season tonight. So hats off to Steve Stamkos for that. Hats off to Ryan Miller. We can't wait to see him drop the puck Saturday. Hopefully it'll be another Ducks victory. If they play the way they played tonight and keep the gaps closed and in the defensive zone and keep the pace going, I think they'll be all right. Okay, let's take a look around the NHL. Give me a call if you want to hop in, 714-940-2888. It's a big comeback victory, 5 unanswered goals, 5-3 over the Blue Jackets in Columbus. All right, in St. Louis tonight, 5 different goal scorers for the St. Louis Blues. It's Blues 5, Predators 2. Jordan Kyrou now up to 21 goals for the Blues. The Oilers 3, the Lightning 2. This is in the second period. Leon Draisaitl up to 27 goals. Zach Hyman up to 22. Capitals 2, Coyotes nothing. That's also in the second. Dylan Strome and Sonny Milano for the Washington Capitals. Milano is up to 8 goals. Red Wings 1, Golden Knights nothing in the first. Boy, you subtract Mark Stone, things start getting real shaky in Vegas. That's in the first. Also in the first, the Kraken 1, the Devils nothing. The Dallas Stars will be visiting the LA Kings, downtown LA, starting just probably in about a minute, probably doing the anthem right now. Bruins 3, Rangers 1 tonight. Patrice Bergeron up to 17 goals on the season. Blackhawks 4, Flyers 1. Jonathan Toews up to 13 goals on the season there. Panthers 6, Canadiens 2. The Panthers are starting to come on now. They've certainly needed it, and they're starting to generate a little something. Matthew Tkachuk, 2 goals tonight. He's up to 24 goals. It's Panthers 6, Canadiens 2. As Scott Burnside was mentioning, Max Pacioretty injured yet again, unfortunately. Hurricanes 5, Wild 2. This is in Raleigh. But unfortunately for Max Pacioretty, he is out. We will see what the Hurricanes do. We'll see. Hopefully, Pacioretty won't be gone long. Didn't sound too good from what Scott had to say. Maple Leafs 4, Jets 1. This is in Toronto. 2 goals by Austin Matthews. He's up to 24 on the season. Sabres beat the Islanders 3-2 on Dylan Cousins' overtime goal. On Ryan Miller night, he gets the number 30, raised to the rafters. In terms of American goalies, Ryan Miller, as you know, is number 1 overall for wins with 391. And then John Van Beesbrouck is second with 374. Tom Barrasso, 369. Jonathan Quick at 367. Would be interesting to see how much longer John Quick plays, but he is he's just 24 behind Ryan Miller. And Craig Anderson, who's still at it, is at 315, but at his age, there's no way he would come close. So Jonathan Quick would be the threat to Ryan Miller in terms of, you know, United States goaltender. So we'll see how much longer Jonathan Quick lasts. He's had a long career. All right. What else is there? I guess that's about it. I will talk to you Saturday morning, 9 a.m. we start. Saturday morning, we're in Buffalo. 9 a.m. is pregame. 9:30 is the game itself. Thank you so much for listening to Duck Calls tonight. And thank you so much to Scott Burnside. And I'm going to get out of here. I'll talk to you then. And we'll get going Saturday morning, bright and early, as we travel to Buffalo. We can watch Ryan Miller drop the first puck, the ceremonial puck. Should be good to see Ryan again. All right. Ducks win, folks. Ducks win. Let's see if we can keep it going. I'll talk to you Saturday.
Just like hockey, breaking news happens fast. That's why it's so crucial that you hear every update wherever you are. Great news. NBC News is available right on TuneIn, so you never miss a headline or a story.
Critical and extreme fire danger that covers...
This is about protecting our democracy.
We don't always have to agree. That's part of what...
So when you aren't listening to the Ducks delivering thrilling hockey, you'll be listening to top NBC News anchors delivering key headlines. Hear it here, right on TuneIn.
Today's hottest hits are not only topping the charts, they're boosting your day with positive energy and catchy hooks. And the best app for all your favorite audio, TuneIn, is here with our exclusive Today's Hit Station to keep your finger on the pulse of today's hottest artists like Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars, and so many more. Plus, you can ditch the commercial breaks with a TuneIn Premium channel. Look no further. Stream Today's Hits only on TuneIn.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
For Zegras in, shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station, so you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you while you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game. Listen now, right here on TuneIn.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
Thanks for listening to this exclusive presentation of Anaheim Ducks Hockey. Stay tuned for continued coverage on Ducks Stream, the official 24/7 audio network of the Anaheim Ducks, powered by TuneIn.